Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning there was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him. Nothing was made without him. In him there was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it. There was a man named John who was sent by God. He came to tell people the truth about the light, so that through him all people could hear about the light and believe. John was not the light, but he came to tell people the truth about the light. The true light that gives light to all was coming into the world. The Word was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world did not know him. He came to the world that was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to all who did accept him and believe in him, he gave the right to become children of God. They did not become his children in any human way, by any human parents or human desire. They were born of God. The Word became a human and lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory that belongs to the only Son of the Father, and he was full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Father, as we spend these next few minutes reflecting on your word on this Christmas night, we pray that you'll bless and guide each of us in our thinking. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please sit down. I wonder what you were doing this time last week. Well, I wonder actually whether it'd be difficult for me to guess what it was you were doing, but I think I can guess what many of you were talking about. Because this time last week, many of you would have been talking about the final of Strictly Come Dancing. Because actually that was only 6 days ago. It seems, or 7 days ago, I guess now, yes, 7 days ago. A lot's happened during this last week, and something that was on everybody's lips this time last week is now, I suspect, completely faded from your memory. It's interesting, isn't it, that in a week that can happen. I find it quite sad, really, and quite a telling reflection on the nature of modern living. This time last week, many of us were buzzing with it. 7 days later, it's gone. We face fresh news every time we switch on our televisions or our radios or open our newspapers. The headlines keep changing, so that very rarely, if at all, do we actually have time to stop and reflect. The media quickly moves us on to the next big thing. One of my favourite verses in the Bible, and one of the most telling verses, I think, in the passage that Liz read to us a few minutes ago, is the verse where Luke says, "Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I'm not sure that many of us create enough time in our lives to treasure events or to ponder or reflect on them. So often in this rapidly changing world, our opinions and our reactions are based upon sound bites, reinforced perhaps by a dose of prejudice of one sort or another. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's the first point I'd like to leave you with this evening. The suggestion that each of us need to find time for some proper reflection this Christmas. Let's treasure and reflect upon those whom we love and those who love us. Let's treasure and reflect upon the good things that we have to enjoy. And let's treasure and reflect upon the presence of God in the world, the truth which lies at the heart of the Christmas story. Some of you may have seen the reality TV program called Sanctuary, which followed five people. I can't remember the background of all of them, but I remember that one of them was in advertising, one worked in a busy Glasgow restaurant, and one was in the porn industry. Can't remember what the other two did. I suspect one was a retired teacher. There are lots of them about. But each of them accepted the challenge to take a few days out from their busy lives to be quiet and reflective. And for each, as the television program followed them through three episodes, this was a life-changing, a massively meaningful and enriching experience. Some of the group found God. All of them felt enormous benefit from the experience of taking time out to be quiet and reflective. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered over them. Next week, the media chatter will briefly be about New Year resolutions. May I offer you the suggestion for you that you resolve on January the 1st to find some quality time during 2012 to treasure and to ponder. Treasuring and pondering lie at the very heart of the Christian faith. Now, somebody who we all know or know about who has more excuse than most for not having time to treasure and to ponder is our local MP and Prime Minister, David Cameron. I think his lifestyle must be absolutely appalling, don't you? It doesn't appeal to me at all. The amount of information and decisions and so on that have to be taken every day strikes me as an absolute nightmare. But his world certainly is a world of sound bites. 2 weeks ago, David Cameron spoke in Oxford about the central role which the Bible has had in our society since the publication of the King James Version 400 years ago. And he spoke about the need for our society to, in his words, return to Christian values. It was a good soundbite, and as with most political soundbites, there was some good sense in it, but a lot left unsaid. David Cameron spoke about the moral values which can be found in the Bible, and he spoke about the underlying tolerance of others, which is a feature of the mainstream Christian tradition. He argued that a higher profile for the church and its teaching would not be divisive in 21st century Britain. Biblical values, he said, are understood and appreciated by those of other faiths, as well as Christians, and indeed by those who claim to have no faith at all. And his thesis is that it would be good for people of all faiths and creeds if a consensus of broadly Christian ideas on morality and values could be accepted across the nation. And he challenged the church to get on with the task. Now, I don't think that David Cameron's wrong to believe this. I've heard people of other faiths say very much the same sort of thing. And I think that we should work hard to preserve the identity that we have had as a Christian country. But Jesus didn't go through the squalor of an illegitimate birth in a stable. He didn't go through the harshness of rejection and misunderstanding throughout his working life. He didn't go through the anguish of crucifixion just to provide social cement to a crumbling society. Jesus came to do far more than that. He said he came to bring life, life in all its abundance, life to all those who turn to him, life to all who find the time and space to reflect and ponder on his life and teaching and put their trust in him. Now, earlier I referred to Strictly Come Dancing. Last week it was the big news, and I was able to make a very topical reference to it during the talk I gave at the carol service. Now it's old news, but as a historian I'm allowed to dip back into the past and to take my illustrations from wherever I like. And I'd like to just reflect on it a little bit more this evening. Because one thing that really impressed me that evening was the way in which all three finalists, Harry, Jason and Chelsea, were so clear. Don't think anybody's been shot, it's just the fuses. Better get on with it before we get cold. One thing that really impressed me, as I say, was the way in which all three finalists, Harry, Jason and Chelsea, were so clear about the reason for their success. Each one spoke of the way that being on Strictly had transformed their lives and been the best thing that they'd ever done. They'd found fulfillment and a tremendous amount of fun and discovered so much about themselves and achieved far more than they ever thought they could. And each of them put this down to their professional mentor, to their dance partner. They pointed out how the partner had initially inspired them, had gained their trust as they showed them how to dance, had coaxed them through the difficult routines, and of course, had danced with them. Initially inspired them, gained their trust, showed them how to dance, coaxed them through the difficult routines, and of course, danced with them. That's a pretty good message for Christmas Day as we seek to understand what the baby in the manger is all about. Because you see, I would say the same about Jesus, who has inspired me, gained my trust, shown me how to live, coaxed me through difficult times, and continues to live with me. Christmas is a wonderful time for many of us, though of course, as we're always aware, a sad time for some. Most of us hate that moment on January the 6th when we have to take down the decorations. We resent the thought that it's all over. Suddenly our living room looks bare and life seems dull as we head towards that date, 2 weeks later in January, when we're all supposed to be deeply depressed. And I think that for some of us, one of the dangers of enjoying Christmas so much is that we cannot bear to take the baby out of the manger. That's the picture of Jesus that we love to carry with us. Mentally, we leave him in the manger all the year long. Now I say, let's enjoy the birth story again. It's a wonderful story. But let's also engage with the rest of what Jesus said, did, and stood for. He offered us friendship and inspiration today, tomorrow, in this world, and beyond the grave. What Jesus offered was far more than a recipe for social cement. It was a radical agenda for unselfish living, a call to protect the weak and the hungry, the homeless and the lonely. And Jesus promised that through unselfish engagement with others, we would find real life, real meaning in our lives, life in all its fullness. You could say, without stretching things too far, that Jesus offered to help us to dance. How wonderful it would be if our nation united around these values in these troubled times, if we learnt to dance together in harmony. And on an individual level, how even more wonderful it would be for each of us during this Christmas and into 2012 if we found the time, the space, the inclination for pondering and reflecting on the one who longs to be our inspiration, our mentor, our trusted support, our dancing partner. So don't leave Jesus in the manger all year. Treasure and ponder the stories in this wonderful book. And let Jesus teach you to dance during this next 12 months. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. May we do the same. Amen.